With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. On this fourth Sunday in Advent, our worship begins on page 184 of the Lutheran hymnal. Our hymns this morning are hymns number 543, 392, 367, and 380. Pastor Bart Miller's sermon is entitled, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and is taken from Micah 5, verses 2 through 4. Welcome, and may our Lord bless our worship this morning.
Well, welcome all of you to worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And as we prepare for our Christmas celebration, all of our Advent candles are lit. You might notice that some of the things are up here for the Christmas Eve program tomorrow night. They made it easy for me. Tomorrow night at 6, Christmas morning at 9. I can remember that, 6 and 9. And if I can remember it, you can too. So we hope we'll see all of you tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock here for the Children's Christmas Program and our Christmas Eve worship, and also our communion service on Christmas morning at 9 o'clock. We look forward to celebrating that. And today, we worship God with the order of service on page 184. We use that as we bring our sins to God and hear His good word of forgiveness and remind ourselves again about the Christmas story and especially the Old Testament people as they prepared for the coming of the Savior into the world. And we begin our worship today with hymn number 543. To page 184. We also use Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7 this day as we enter worship, and we will omit the Gloria in Excelsis hymn part of our canticle of praise at the beginning of worship as it is the season of Advent. So note those things as we now stand to confess our sins to God on page 184 in our hymn. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we, poor sinners, confess unto you that we are, by nature, sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. As we enter worship now, we do that with the words of Psalm 80. The Psalms are in the front of our hymnal in the order in which they are written. And we read Psalm 80 responsively by half verses, the first seven verses. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Restore us, O God. O Lord, God of hosts, you have fed them with the bread of tears. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors. Restore us, O God of hosts. You may be seated. We greet each other with a salutation. Find that on page 189 in the middle of our page. And then we join the church throughout the world this day as they prepare for Christmas with our collective prayer or our collect. We stand for our salutation and collect. The Lord be with you. Blessed Lord, you have come to our world this day. Christmas is a reminder that you are with us. In your love and compassion, you come to us in both quiet and spectacular ways. Today, you remind us that you came in Bethlehem. You came to be our Savior. Grant that as we may hear these things, we may have the patience and comfort of your holy word to embrace and ever hold fast this blessed hope of everlasting life with Jesus, our Savior, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We listen to God's word this day as we have throughout this Advent season, listening to the Old Testament prophecies, the reminders to the Old Testament people of what the Savior would be like. And we read, first of all, from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origins is from old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, for they shall dwell securely. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading from the letter in the New Testament to the Hebrew Christians, chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for our Alleluia and verse. We read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the gospel of our Lord. We join together now in singing hymn number 392, and as we do, I invite the children to come forward for a short children's message. since you're up here and tomorrow's Christmas Eve and then the next day's Christmas Day, how many of you are going to get Christmas presents? Are y'all going to get Christmas presents? Only one. One. Two. Three. Are you going to get some Christmas presents this year, you think? Okay, there's four. I'm really disappointed. I'll have to meet with your parents after because you're not getting any Christmas presents. All right, here's a real question. How many of you got Christmas presents for your mom and dad? One, two. That's good. That's excellent because I have four children. I'm the father of four children, and they didn't always get me Christmas presents. It was kind of disappointing sometimes. I got them Christmas presents. They didn't. But they gave me a Christmas present this year. Here it is. They told me I couldn't open it, but I did bring it with me. Do you think I should open it and peek inside? How many of you think I should peek inside? Man. Guys, I'll get in trouble because I don't think this congregation can keep secrets. Somehow it would leak to my family. What do you do to find out what's inside if you don't look? What do you have to do? You shake it? It sounds like money. Like maybe there's money in there, you think? Like it's probably pennies. Anyway, they told me I couldn't open it. But I hope you got your mom and dad something, because that's really nice. But even if you don't give your mom and dad, you know, a real present, what do you think your mom and dad really want from you? You have any idea what really makes them the happiest? Because I'm a dad and I can tell. Do you know what makes parents the happiest? You'll have to think about it. Well, I'm going to help you out today because I'm a dad. I'm going to tell you a secret myself about what parents want the most. And I think everybody who's a parent here will agree with me that on Christmas, when we give presents, it's not so much about the presents, but it's about the fact that my kids, and I still have four kids, they're just not quite as little as you now, but when they get some Christmas presents, when they say thank you and they tell me they love me and give me a hug, that's really all I want. I know that they appreciate what I have done for them as a dad, and I appreciate them. And we love each other, and we thank each other for what we've done. And that's really the present there. And in a way, that's what we do at Christmas. How many of you bought a present for Jesus? Did you? Because I don't know what I'd give him. I don't think Jesus wants a toy or a tractor or a game or anything like that. But what do you think Jesus wants? We have a banner over there and it has the word love on it. The only thing God wants for us is for us to love him and to thank him. And that's what we do here at church. I hope you know that's why we're here. We're here to sit here and to tell Jesus that we love him and we thank him for sending a Savior to the world. We thank Jesus for coming to the world to forgive our sins and to give us a life and to always tell us that he loves us very much. And that's what we do here. We kind of bring a present to Jesus every time you're here. You are bringing Jesus a gift just by sitting up here right now. I'm sure Jesus has a big smile on his face because you're here and you're thanking him. That's what we're going to do tomorrow night when we have our children's Christmas program. It's a way for us just to tell Jesus we thank him. That's really our present to him, and that's all he really wants from us. Just like moms and dads want you to tell them thank you and tell them that you love them. If you do that on Christmas, when you get presents, or even when you don't get presents, that's really what parents want the most. And so I hope that whatever's in this box, when I open it up with my kids, I hope when I ever open it up, I know that it's a way for them to tell me that they love me and that they thank me for what I've done. And then I really appreciate having them for my kids. And your parents will too. And Jesus does when we're thankful that we're here for him. And so we're going to continue our worship by confessing our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And then we'll join together in singing hymn number 367. You guys can go back to your seats. You can take something with you if you want. And I appreciate you guys all being here and thanking Jesus for what he's done for you. Let's stand and join together in confessing our Christian faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We join together in singing hymn number 367. We will stand during the last verse. You may be seated for the hymn. We pray, what wondrous love is this, O my soul? When I was sinking down, behold, God's righteous frown was upon me, and Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. What wondrous love is this? Amen. You may be seated. And now they were come to Bethlehem. That's what the evangelist writes. And they were of all people the lowest and most humble. Simple people in a small town, moving over to make way for everyone else while they were shoved away into a stable, into a manger for a crib. No one recognized what God was doing, for they all believed God must work in splendid and fantastic ways. There are many of you in this congregation who think to yourselves, if only I had been there, how quick I would have been to help the mother and the baby. I would have washed his linens. How happy I would have been to go with the shepherds to see this baby laying in a manger. That's what you would say. You say it because you know how great Christ is. But if you had been there at that time, you would have done no better than the people of Bethlehem. God wishes for you to do the simplest things for your neighbor. You have Christ here among yourselves, and you won't lift a finger to help anybody else. These were the words of Martin Luther in a sermon exactly 480 years ago in 1538, as he preached to his congregation in Wittenberg, Germany, about Bethlehem and Christmas. And so it's good and right that we listen to what the prophet says and remember what people have been thinking a long time about the little town of Bethlehem. We bow our heads for prayer. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Martin Luther preached this sermon about Bethlehem, and I'd like to talk a little bit about it too. Not that I'm as powerful as Martin Luther or even preaching the full sermon. I want you to know that the full sermon is 3 hours long, which was normal for the people back then. And they stood up, by the way, during the church services back then. And I don't think we want to do that today for some reason. Martin Luther asked many times in his Christmas writings, and I'm going to talk in Bible class today a little more about what Martin Luther felt about Christmas, because he wrote a lot about Christmas. He felt that the Christmas story told us everything we need to know about our God and how much he loved us. But he always wrote, if we'd lived in Bethlehem when Jesus was born, would we have believed that the new baby born in that stable was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Would we have believed that it was God himself come in human form? Martin Luther was deeply doubtful himself that he would have believed it. In fact, he said that he envied the shepherds because they came and they believed and they left praising God. And Martin Luther felt that if he'd been one of the shepherds, he would have just dragged behind because he wouldn't have believed it himself. It's an amazing idea that God would care enough for us to become a human life, to grow in his mother's womb, to be born a natural birth into the world as God. That he would share our problems as a human being, that he would take all the sufferings and all of the frustrations and all the stress of life on himself, and then he would go hang on a cross for us and die the most excruciating death and suffer not only physical death, but the pain of his soul in hell, the pain that we would deserve. And it was a little surprise to Martin Luther that only a handful of people even considered Jesus' birth to be significant. Mary and Joseph, some shepherds, Elizabeth in our story, wise men from another country, and even King Herod, who shuddered at the thought that another king was going to be born and believed it enough to send the wise men to Bethlehem. When King Herod heard that these wise men had come and they wanted an audience with them, the Bible tells us that these wise men from the east came to King Herod. And they said, we've seen a star, and we believe that a prophecy from the Old Testament is being fulfilled, and that the King of the universe, the Lord of Lords, God himself, is going to be born and become the King of all. And he's going to be born here. We believe that because we read about it in the Old Testament prophecies. King Herod called his scribes and his Bible scholars to him and says, where is this king supposed to be born? And they said, well, there's a prophecy in the Old Testament, several of them, but especially one in Micah chapter 5, and it says, Bethlehem, you're a tiny little town, but from you is going to come the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that's where he's going to be born. So Herod sent them on to Bethlehem. And even though he wasn't a believer in God, he was a believer that God might try to trick him and sneak a king into the world in the little town of Bethlehem. So he sent the wise men there, and what did he tell them? He said, when you find him, let me know. You can do my work for me. And of course, you know the story. When the wise men had found the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and had knelt down to worship him and had brought him gifts to thank God for coming into the world and to praise the God of the universe, They were warned in a dream not to tell Herod because Herod wanted to bring harm to the child. And Herod, realizing they weren't going to come back and tell him and that this baby might have been born in Bethlehem, ordered his soldiers to go to that little town of Bethlehem and kill all the little baby boys 2 years old and under just so he would get them all. But Mary and Joseph had escaped and gone to Egypt to live for 2 years to make sure their baby would be safe. Even King Herod believed. And yet no one could hardly believe that God could do such a great thing in such a simple way. And that's what the prophecy's about. It's not an accident that Jesus was born in one of the most tragic centuries of the world, in the poorest of countries during that time, in the smallest town, to the poorest girl, engaged to a poor carpenter, and then the baby was born far away from their own home, in a strange city they'd probably never been to before, and then in an animal stable because there was nowhere else for them to go, and the best they could do is let their baby lay in the straw of an animal's feed trough. Could not God work in a better way? Couldn't he come in a more spectacular way? With fireworks and bands and some kind of great entrance. Of course he could have, but he didn't. And for us, as well as the people in Jesus' day, an ancient prophecy written by the prophet Micah 800 years before this birth ever happened tells us, Bethlehem, you're the smallest of towns in Judah, but from you will come for me the one who will be ruler over all Israel, who was with me from the beginning of time, from all eternity. Israel will be lost and abandoned until this happens. And then when that mother gives birth, all of his brothers will return to Judah with great joy. It's exactly how God wanted it to happen. He did it on purpose. He sent his son to be born in the bottom of a barrel, if you'll use that analogy. He was born into a sinful world, and he put him on the bottom. Jesus didn't want anything spectacular about his life to interfere with what he was going to do for you and me. He was going to rise up and show a world that sin had blinded us to God and his word. He came to be lifted up on a cross so that those who God turned to be lifted up to himself would see what a simple beginning could become, life through resurrection and power and gladness through sin and death and forgiveness. Bethlehem, for Martin Luther and for the Old Testament people and for us too, is all about how that God can take the simplest things and make them great. He can take the lowest life and give it power. He can take the barest scene and he can fill it with warmth and with light. And so Bethlehem is a symbol, in a way, of comfort and joy to everyone who takes a good look at their own life. I always think about the places I've lived and the places I've been. I've lived in certain places. I lived in Minnesota near a small town. And if you go to that little small town of Windom, Minnesota, anybody heard of Windom? Yeah, not a very big town. But if you go there and you go to the coffee shop in the morning, and if you were a visitor and you'd ask them, you know, who famous has come from Windom, Minnesota? They would all tell you the same thing. Odell Beckham Jr.'s mother. See, some of you are going, I don't even know who he is. He's a football player, and his mother was born and raised in Windom, Minnesota. And that's what they'll tell you. They would tell you that's the most famous person that's ever come from Windom, Minnesota. I moved to Concordia 4 years ago. I've had an association with Concordia all my life, but when I go places, I tell people I live in Concordia, Missouri. If I go to other places and they look at me, doesn't everybody know where Concordia, Missouri is? I'm telling you, they don't. But now I tell them that I've been helping out at a church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Blank face. Nobody knows where that is. Who's the most famous person that ever came from Bethlehem? Well, there was a first famous person. King David was born and raised in Bethlehem many, many years before, 1,000 years before Jesus. And now the prophet comes and says, somebody's going to come, is going to be greater than David. Can you imagine that? Going to Windom, Minnesota and say, one day somebody more famous than Odell Beckham Jr.'s mother is going to come from Windom. They'd say, no way, not a chance. And someday somebody famous is going to come from Sweet Springs. I don't know who the most famous person is. You probably do. But the prophet said, someday a king will be born in Bethlehem, and no one will have any idea that he was born there. But he'll grow up and he'll be greater than David. And people in Bethlehem said, no way. There's no way anybody could be born in the little town of Bethlehem who would be greater than the greatest king of one of the greatest times in the history of the world when David was king of Israel. But that's what the prophet says. He says, God moved in. He moved in on Mary and caused her to be pregnant with the Savior of the world. And he moved in on some shepherds when she had gotten to Bethlehem and she'd had the baby. And poor, simple shepherds on the outskirts of the small town. And being a shepherd wasn't the most powerful job there could be. And he moved in on Bethlehem itself. And he gave us Jesus in the most humble and lowliest place of all. And that's what Jesus is all about at Christmas. And to anyone who's ever taken heart for the words of the prophet Micah, it really gives you great strength. It's meant to give you strength. It was meant to give people strength back then. Because in a way, Micah was telling people in the Old Testament, don't lose heart, because God is going to come to you, the most simple people. Don't think that you live in a corner of the world that God has ignored, because he's going to come to every corner of every place in the world, even to you, even here. Now, Martin Luther was preaching to people 480 years ago in Wittenberg, Germany. Now, today, Wittenberg's famous because that's where Martin Luther's from. But before that, it was not famous. Before that, I think if you'd gone to the coffee shop in Wittenberg and said, has anybody famous come from Wittenberg? They'd have said, nope, not a soul. Can't tell you one famous person who came from Wittenberg. Today, Martin Luther came from there, and tourists come from all over the world to see the place where Martin Luther lived. But back then, he wasn't famous, neither was Wittenberg, and his sermon was to the people of Wittenberg who thought of themselves as not very important in their corner of the Holy Roman Empire at that time. And he said, you're important. You're important to God. He came to Bethlehem, and surely he'll come to you. His greatness reaches here to Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs. In this simple place, to me, a person who fails most of the time, who feels uncertain about life a lot, who has doubts, who isn't terribly excited about growing old and dying, who has problems pop up from day to day, and no matter how hard I try to change things, God sometimes moves my life in directions that I don't know. For to you is born, Jesus is told, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And as Jesus rose from such a simple beginning in Bethlehem, he lifts me up from my sins. In the most humble state that I am, he comes to me in my death and dying, and he tells me that I'm going to live forever, not because of anything I've done, but he's going to give me a gift that is going to make me part of his great kingdom for all eternity. And he does it through his word, through this simple word today. Nothing more spectacular than that. There is no more spectacular church or more spectacular people than you for God to bring this word to. He does it through baptism, the simplest thing that can possibly happen to a person, some water being put on a person and a baby, no less, when we baptize infants. And spoken in faith, God creates a new life that will last forever. It seems so simple, and yet God uses that simple thing to do his great work. And the Lord's Supper, the simplest of meal, a small piece of bread and wine, but it's Jesus' body and blood. Because we receive it by faith, and he gives himself to us. God himself gives himself to us to eat and drink in this little town, in this little place, in this little congregation, because he thinks you are the greatest person to give a gift to. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. It literally means house of bread, a place of prosperous living, a place where you'll get enough to eat. God has given himself to us in this house of worship. And he gives himself to us in a manger at Bethlehem. His greatness becomes our greatness through a very simple way. And all that we have and all that we are depend on him. And now the evangelist says, here we are at Christmas. We've come to Bethlehem of all places, to a stable. The stable probably looks nicer than the stable they were in. I don't know. And in that stable, the simple people in a small town moved over to make way for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God has worked, and Jesus has lived and died and risen to give you life in this simple place because he loves you. He loves you. He was not born for people in a great place, a most famous place, a most spectacular place. He was born for you. And for you and me, that's the greatest news of all, that God would love me so much that he would come to Bethlehem, that he would come to me, and that he would give me a life that would last forever because he wants to share that with me and share his eternal greatness for all eternity. Amen. And may the peace that passes our human understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand for prayer. Lord God, you came into this world as a baby in Bethlehem in the simplest of way to show your great love to us. We thank you for that great love, and we ask you to help us and extend to us the opportunities we have each day to help one another and to serve you in great and small ways. Help us understand that you want us to love our neighbors as ourselves. You want us to love one another as you have loved us. And in doing that, we give you the greatest gift we can give, our thankfulness and our praises. Accept them this day as we come now and worship you. Accept them as we worship you and worship your coming into the world at Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Bring us to this house of worship, and this is our gift to you, our presence among one another, to show that we have the love, the peace, the joy, and the hope that only you can give. Almighty and ever-living God, you make us both to will and to do the things that are good and acceptable in your sight. Let your fatherly hand ever guide us, and your Holy Spirit be with us to direct us in not only knowing you, but obeying your word and serving one another. Give us a steadfast faith in Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem at Christmas, a cheerful hope in your mercy, and a sincere love for you and for one another. Guard our hearts that we may never forget what you have done for us, but always show others who you are and what you have done in all that we say and do. For all these things, and for all others in our thoughts and hearts, we bring our prayers and we lift our voices in prayer as Jesus himself has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
And go now with the good word of the Lord, his benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And you may be seated for our closing hymn, number 380, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.